Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you're my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
To Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Let's try that. Hey, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here. It's so good to have you. Greatly appreciate you tuning in today. Yeah, I might try unmuting the microphone. I don't know, just for something different. All right. Well, great to have you. I hope you have had a wonderful weekend. And many of you, of course, are probably celebrating President's Day today. We'll talk about that in a minute. And so you are enjoying a three-day weekend. So we may be catching you, you know, kind of waking up this morning or what have you. But appreciate you taking the time to tune in and listen here on this President's Day morning. Got a great program lined up for you. I really, this is a very special program, and I hope that you will share this with your friends. We're going to have the real story of the birthing of the nation of Israel, the modern day 1948 birthing of Israel. There's some things you may not know. You may not know about the British blockade, for example, that tried to prevent Israel from landing people in Israel in order to prevent the establishment of that country. You may not know that there were people who raised funds and gave Golda Meir the money to actually buy the land. Yeah, they bought the land. They actually bought the land. And in fact, when the UN pretended to give it to them, they already owned it. They had paid for it. Paid for it. But you may not know that. We'll get all that and more from Robert Silk. His dad, Harry, has the largest dam in Israel named after him. And Robert was a young man when these things took place and traveled with his dad on many of these adventures. And we'll talk to Robert about that coming up. And that will be happening at the bottom of this hour. David Wormser is with us, top of the next hour. And Jeff Stone, who is running for state senator in the state of Nevada. He's transplanted from California, where he fought the battle in California in the Palm Springs, La Quinta area for many years, Riverside. And now he is relocated to Nevada and looked around and said, my goodness, what are they doing here in Nevada? I think I'm going to run for state senate, see if we can't bring some conservative values. His last foray, he was moved from his position as a representative in the state of California, state representative, and promoted into and nominated in and put in by President Donald Trump into his administration right before re-election bid. So that's going on. But joining me now, we'll talk about President's Day. Speaking of President Donald Trump, he has launched the Truth Social Network. I'll get Rick's thoughts on that. I just went over there online to try and, you know, to see about signing up. And it says that you can't. It told me I had an error. So I don't know if that's going to be the deal all day long today. But it was the deal. As it were, just a moment ago, Truth Social, here we go. Click on sign up. Okay, yeah, I filled that information out the first time around, and it didn't like it. All right, well, let me welcome Rick to the program. Hey, Rick, welcome. Happy Monday. Welcome. Happy President's Day.
Happy Monday. It's a and happy President's Day indeed. It is. It's a big day for mattress sales.
Oh, is that, well, that's like a traditional thing, isn't it? Yeah, I'm showing folks on the screen that are watching on our social media networks, what have you. This is what happens when you, so I went in and I put in my name and my email and I checked off I agree and I click sign up and it says 405, not allowed. Nginx 1.21.5 error. So apparently, unless you go through the Apple app, you're not allowed to sign up, because I clicked also on the download and it says, nope, can't do that. Won't let you.
Wow. Well, that's an inauspicious beginning.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Considering the last thing that Donald Trump's system wants to be is dependent upon Apple and the Apple app for its existence, seems like you'd want to be able to get on it and to sign up some other way. I would think.
Oh, by the way, something else I'm showing them right now. So TECN TV, Chosen Generation Radio, number one show for last week. Once again, so we're very, very proud of that and excited about that, and excited, of course, the exceptional conservative radio show that is on in the evenings is number two. Our good friend Kenneth McClinton this is his network, and he's actually leading for the year. For the year so far, he has 122,661 views. And we have 118,334 views. So, yay. Yeah. Good stuff. There we go. All right. So that's the deal on that. Well, President's Day, Rick. Today is President's Day. I was thinking about this. I gotta wonder. Do you think that the presidents that founded our nation, the Washingtons and the Jeffersons and the Adams, do you think they'd recognize this country right now?
No, I don't think they'd recognize the country. The fact is, it's from a freedom perspective, I definitely don't think they would recognize it. But you get down to it, it's 240 some years later. So it would be shocking if anybody, if people in England recognize England 230 years later. The challenge to this is,
Well, you really sound political. What office are you running for? You sound like a good politician there. That's pretty good stuff. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Not my intent. I think what they would be surprised about is that the ideals, the founding ideals, have we're really struggling to remember them, and our things that seem simple like the DNA of our country, found in the Declaration of Independence. That all are created equal, with certain unalienable rights. Created by God, and equal, meaning exactly what that says, means created with equal opportunity, equal blessing from God, and we've backed away from that, and the country as a whole now is struggling to really regain God's blessing, and a lot of America would prefer not to have it. So the country's quite different than its founding. The interesting thing about it is President's Day isn't, there's really nothing called really under law that's called President's Day. It's a marketing term. The law still is. It's really, they just moved George Washington's birthday, which used to be celebrated on the 22nd, which was his birthday, and it still is his birthday. They moved it to a Monday to accommodate federal workers who wanted 3-day weekends. So it truthfully is not called President's Day under the law. It's still George Washington's birthday. His birthday moves around to whatever is the Monday, designated, I guess, third Monday of the month of February. So that's a strange but true fact. So President's Day truly is just a moniker,
a mythology
to sell mattresses. All in all, great history lesson.
So I think one of the things I think that they would be, just first of all, I think they'd be astounded. And then I think they would be thrilled that there still is a United States of America. On the positive side. I think the first thing that they would be excited that, hey, wow, look at this. This thing that we started still exists. Now, of course, then the pageantry would wear off. But, I think if George Washington were to come alive, I have to wonder what he would think about the Washington Memorial. I think he would be embarrassed. I think he'd tell him to tear it down.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. The fact is, honoring people for their past achievements and past achievements. So it really wasn't, Washington Monument wasn't built for Washington. It was built for the rest of us. And that's something we have to kind of remember about all this stuff is, you don't go to, Mount Vernon or Monticello or any number of places, the Capitol. You don't go to those places with an idea of, it really is a symbol of freedom. And you learn about the person, you learn about kind of who they were in terms of Monticello, Mount Vernon and the like. And it becomes it really becomes a sense of how they relate to us and the works that they did. I have no doubt that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Benjamin Franklin and George Washington would all be very proud to see that the Declaration of Independence still exists and we still remember it. I think they would be very proud. James Madison would be very proud to see that the Constitution still exists, although it may be unrecognizable in some ways. But it still exists in terms of its core document.
And the efforts to understand the Federalist Papers that people, that continues, that the history of passing that down and continuing to educate people about the significance of that, I think that they would be very pleased by that. And Mount Vernon, by the way, is a, gosh, folks, if you've never been to Mount Vernon before, and I know many probably haven't, it's absolutely worthy of a journey to go there and take in the history of
It's one of those things that when people come to D.C., they'll often you'll see the stuff in D.C. But I Mount Vernon's a short ride down the road, and it is well worth it. And they've done a great job in terms of preserving it. Beautiful view above the Potomac, it truly is. People don't remember, but the land at Washington D.C., the swamp on the side of the Maryland side of the Potomac, and it was Washington's land. So he actually donated it. Mm-hmm. But it's a, so he donated swamp land, which was probably wise. but anyway, so I don't know how much of a donation that really was. Things you learn about Washington, he's amazing.
We'll take a quick break. Back right after this. Rick Manning, my guest. You're listening to Show Generation Radio.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
Greetings, Chosen Generation Army. I'm so grateful to be connected with you, my listeners. You are some of the most engaged, responsive, loving, and caring people I know. I need to bring to your attention an urgent need for our ministries in India. While there has become a focus on the Uyghurs in China, our ministries in Jammu, Kashmir, and Punjab are being terrorized by those same Uyghurs, the Taliban, and the mounting CCP army at the border of India. Between these threats and the lockdowns, we find ourselves in need of additional financial support. I'm asking for your help to support these pastors and their families, our orphans, our widows, our Bible students, and our community outreaches. $15 will feed a pastor's family for a month. $20 funds our sewing school instructor, and $150 a week funds our base operations, the orphans, the Bible school students, even the sewing school, and our senior indigenous Pastor Samuel. So please go to paypal.me/Pastor Greg. That's paypal.me/Pastor Greg. Or you can call me at 209-380-8654, 209-380-8654, to make your donation over the phone. Please call us, contact me today, and make your best donation. Thank you, and God bless you.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg for Cocolassus. Cocolassus, right here, folks. This stuff is absolutely delicious. Dark cocoa and black molasses. And talk about healthy. Wow. Vitamins, minerals, nutrients. This stuff is absolutely dynamite. And it tastes great. Just take a cup of hot water and take some Cocolassus. Measure it out. And I'm going to get every last drop of it right here, boy. Take my spoon. scoop that cup right out so I can get every last drop of Cocolasses. Got my Cocolasses right here in my cup. Stir it up. You can put a little more, a little less, whatever you prefer. And bottoms up.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
All right, welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Okay, so just very quickly follow up on that Truth Social. So you just read something that said that he expects it fully operational by the end of March?
Yeah, that was okay. Devin Nunes, who's former congressman now, who heads Trump Media and Technology, told Fox News on Sunday they expect the app to be fully operational, at least within the United States, by the end of March. So this is really the very soft beta test, from what I can tell. So, but it did bump to the number one on the charts in the apps in the Apple App Store. So,
except that it is being launched. Except that it was announced. I mean, I got like three emails from three different entities that they obviously paid somebody to do this, right? I got three emails saying that Trump had launched his social network on President's Day, and there's a an article about it in the did I see it at Epic Times or did I see it on the Wall Street Journal?
Well, Devin Nunes was on Fox News yesterday talking about it, and everything's written up about. So yeah. It's a unique way to launch an app. But you know, they set a date when they wanted to get it done, and apparently at some point they'll get it finished. But neither here nor there. In our first half hour of the month of the week, we usually talk a little bit about the various ministries and how they're doing. Why don't you give everybody an update on kind of how the ministries are doing so they can keep up with what's going on?
Sure. So we are still working on putting together our pastor's outreach and our pastor's meeting. We met the financial burden for the month of February through donations. So we hit the $600 mark, and we were able to make sure that, you know, the base operations are handled. And now the next step was to do a pastor's meeting. Of course, we still, you know, we'll have the same goals and the same, focus for March, because each month we need to, you know, be able to meet just that basic nut. And I've got several folks that are donating. And so I think that, you know, I think that as a whole, we're going to be okay with regards to that. But if you would like to help us, you know, whether it's with a freshwater well, or whether you'd like to help us with just a small monthly donation, $20, $40, $50, whatever you can do. If you can do larger dollars, that'd be great. You can just use paypal.me/PastorGreg, paypal.me/PastorGreg. That goes directly into the Faith Harvest Church account. And it's out of that account that we take care of our India ministry. And if you'd like to, you know, designate that it go there, that's great. If you'd like to designate that it help us with our radio ministry, we'd appreciate those donations as well. Samuel and them are doing pretty good. We took some funds out. We had one of our pastors came to Pastor Samuel and was having issues because his wife is very, very ill, and he couldn't afford the treatments. So we took some funds and gave some funds to him so that he could help to take care of his wife, and we thank the Lord for that. And so there you go. That's the update at the moment.
Wow, It's a every week when you talk about this, it's just so so amazing, the blessing. Even if it's helping one pastor be able to help his wife get get medical treatment, or it's training pastors, or it's digging a well so the community can have, a generation can have clean water and not deal with all the death and disease and sickness that comes simply from not having clean water. The various sewing school, the training people to be women to be self-sufficient in India, the political aspect of it where the Christians who have been who are from lower castes primarily in the region are being integrated and brought into at least the political realm because of the nature of Christianity, the servant nature of Christianity, and people from other faiths saying, wait a second, these guys are actually doing, they're living what they talk about, and it's making a difference, and we can't provide that from the government. So all those things that are being done are just, and all from a few, really very few donations, very, very, very little money. So it's just astonishing what's happening there.
It's been a huge blessing, and I was sharing with Pastor Samuel. He and I were praying yesterday, because he was getting ready for the service. Actually, I guess we were praying Saturday night as he was getting ready for to preach the sermon. And just the other thing is just reminding them what Jesus Christ has done for us, and that is so critically important for us here in America. Why would Paul, a guy who was in line to become the high priest, having done everything, being raised up to that point, why would he surrender all of that? There had to be something more than just the social club that we're called church, or just to be in the struggle. There was something more than just the struggle. All right, Rick, God bless. Talk to you next week.
Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on. There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child, and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex, you're teaching transgender issues, and children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive, most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth, and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, heard on the Truth Broadcasting Network and seen on TECNTV.com Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, where I discuss today's most important issues through a biblical constitutional lens. TECNTV.com appreciates our partnership with NTD, and we'd love for you to give our great programming a view. That's TECNTV.com, Chosen Generation Radio with Pastor Greg. God bless you and God bless America.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Well, I am just really, really honored to have my next guest on the program with me. I had the pleasure of getting introduced to him by a mutual friend. Scott Shields introduced us to talk about what had happened and the lives that were lost in Afghanistan. And that's how he and I first got introduced. And then I had the sincere pleasure of meeting him face-to-face and in person in La Quinta when we did the Finding Courage, and I was asked to host that event, and it was just such an honor to meet him. And hearing the story, I just felt it was so critically important to bring him onto the program to present this to you, my audience. And I want to welcome Robert Silk to the program. Robert, welcome. It's so good to have you.
It's nice to be here. Thank you very much for asking me, and good morning to you and everyone.
Absolutely. My pleasure. My pleasure. Well, I shared as I was introducing the show today that we were going to talk a bit about some of the things that people may not know about the founding of the nation of Israel, the modern day nation of Israel, the British blockade, the Exodus ship, and in particular, Golda Meir's efforts to purchase the land, and your father Harry's involvement in procuring the funds to and raising money to help to pay for the land that the UN then pretended to give Israel. So why don't we start a little bit with the displacement of the Jewish people after World War II, and the need for them to find home, and obviously this was home.
Yes, that's correct. I think that everyone remembers the movie The Exodus that Otto Preminger with Paul Newman, starred Paul Newman. But the movie was adopted from the 1958 book by Leon Uris, who was inspired by the 1948 book by Ruth Gruber. The official 1947 statement from the Israeli government was that the Exodus was acquired through a top secret intermediary. And I can talk to you about that intermediary, who was my father.
So how did tell my listeners, and we're going to refer them to robertsilk.com and your family history so they can read part of this, and I'm going to work with you to get your presentation that perhaps we can share on the website so people can really understand this, because I think it's very important for them to understand this history because of the significance of the relationship between the United States and Israel then and as it should be now. But talk to me. Go ahead.
Well, let's go back. You know that we're in the year 2022. And 2022 years ago, Jesus was born. Mm-hmm. 1,500 years before that was Moses who brought us the Ten Commandments. That's 35 years ago, 3,500 years. Go back, double that, to 6,500 years when the Jewish people were on their land in Samaria and Judea, which is now Israel, and it's always been their land. Israel has always been, you know, a land of sand, and it was 6,500 years ago, and it is today, if not for water. And I remember being in Israel on one of the 15 trips there right after World War II in 46 and 47 and looking down a long road, and on this side was green grass and on the other side was sand. And you knew that this side was Israel and the other side was not. So I'm now going to be before you today as I remind myself again of those turbulent days after World War II as a young lad. And coming home from junior high school one day in 1946, I found Golda Meir in our kitchen. And I sat at the table, and she was telling my father that he has to go to Haifa to meet with Prime Minister Ben-Gurion. And she said to me, after a while, she put her finger up and she said, Robert, I want you to remember something. If you want something said, you ask a man. But if you want something done, you ask a woman. And she said, do not forget that. And I can, if I saw her today, I would tell her that 70 years later, I still remember that. And my father would always take me with him as the oldest son, wherever he went. And one day I remember Dwight Eisenhower, Harry Truman, Douglas MacArthur, Indira Gandhi, all wonderful people that impress you because not what they have in monetary value, but what they have inside themselves and in their brain and in their body. And that's how he brought me up, and I'm still that way today. So we left that week, believe it or not, and we stayed at the Megiddo Hotel in the port of Haifa, looking over the harbor. You know, in those days, when you just went to the airport, you got on the Pan Am Clipper and you flew over there. Just like it shows you in the movies of Indiana Jones, you know, he would just get on the planes and fly. And I remember my father telling me that the Israelis live on the sunrise side, not the sunset side. It's the side to see the day that is coming, not to see the day that is gone. And Ben-Gurion said to my father, he said, Harry, we need about 500,000, which would be, I guess in today's dollars, about 10 million, to purchase and refit 10 vessels to break the bridge blockade to bring the dedicated and struggling immigrants to Israel. The first of these ships is to be named the Exodus. And my dad said to the Prime Minister, we will purchase the vessels and the money for the crews and repairs, the docking fees, will be sent to you in the usual manner. And that's how everything started. On that visit in August of 1946, Ben Gurion said that before you have a country, you have to have people. So we need people not only to populate our country, but to populate our armies for the wars yet to be fought. In fact, at dinner that night, jokingly, Ben Gurion's wife, Paula, said to me, I was sitting next to her, that a war was inevitable with the 100 million Arabs that surrounded little Israel. She said, but she knew that the war would last less than 2 weeks because her son joined the army and he could never hold a job more than 2 weeks in his life anyway. And she was right.
Now, talk to me a little bit about the blockade. What was going on with the British blockade?
The British were aligned with the Arabs and the oil and the Balfour Declaration. The Arabs did not want Israel to be a state. Now, these people who we needed to get to Israel were all displaced from World War II. They had no place to go back to.
Right.
Their cities were burned to the ground by the Nazis. Mm-hmm. All their families were dead.
Murdered.
And they were all displaced. And they all coming down south of France to the Mediterranean, to the Marseille area, to get on ships to come to Israel. Because we were an open country. We even opened up our country to the Ethiopian Jewish people and got them out years and years ago. So my dad, who was had a wonderful history with Israel, even before World War II, he was president of the Jewish National Fund, which, by the way, started in 1901, raising money to purchase the land throughout Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So we did own a lot of the land, and we planted all the trees and so forth, and agricultural and so forth. And so we needed people because we knew we were going to be in trouble as soon as the United Nations would vote to make a state in May of 1948, which they did, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first of the Six-Day War. The first war in 1948, 1963, 67, 73. Anyways, getting back to this story. So they, Mossad and the Palmach and the Haganah, which would be our FBI, CIA, so forth, they were getting a little bit disturbed because they were bringing people over in boats of 20 or 30, and they decided that it was time to start going to the thousands. And this was
okay.
The first one we really did. Now, in order to accomplish Israel becoming a state, there were probably, let's just say, 100 things had to happen after each other. So all the dominoes had to fall from the first domino, second, third, fourth, fifth. We were just one of those dominoes that we had to break the British blockade to open up the gates for all those people to come into Israel.
Wow.
And all the things that had to happen prior to that. Our domino took 3 months to fall.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, I'm Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, heard on the Truth Broadcasting Network and seen on TECNTV.com Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, where I discuss today's most important issues through a biblical constitutional lens. TECNTV.com appreciates our partnership with NTD, and we'd love for you to give our great programming a view. That's TECNTV.com, Chosen Generation Radio with Pastor Greg. God bless you and God bless America. Greetings, Chosen Generation Army. I'm so grateful to be connected with you, my listeners. You are some of the most engaged, responsive, loving, and caring people I know. I need to bring to your attention an urgent need for our ministries in India. While there has become a focus on the Uyghurs in China, our ministries in Jammu, Kashmir, and Punjab are being terrorized by those same Uyghurs, the Taliban, and the mounting CCP army at the border of India. Between these threats and the lockdowns, we find ourselves in need of additional financial support. I'm asking for your help to support these pastors and their families, our orphans, our widows, our Bible students, and our community outreaches. $15 will feed a pastor's family for a month. $20 funds our sewing school instructor, and $150 a week funds our base operations, the orphans, the Bible school students, even the sewing school, and our senior indigenous Pastor Samuel. So please go to paypal.me/PastorGreg. That's paypal.me/PastorGreg. Or you can call me at 209-380-8654, 209-380-8654, to make your donation over the phone. Please call us, contact me today, and make your best donation. Thank you, and God bless you. Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned, because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at www.chosengenerationradio.com.
Welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My special guest is Robert Silk. You can find him at robertsilk, SYLK.com. That's Robert SYLK.com, and you can click on family history to read a lot of this history. Robert, you were sharing with us about, you know, the need to bring larger numbers of people to Israel at that time in order to establish the nation of Israel. Go ahead and continue that story if you would, please.
Okay, well, just to speed things up a little bit.
Yeah.
We returned from Israel, and we found a ship that could be purchased. It was in Baltimore, and we took a train down to Baltimore from Philadelphia. We walked up the gangplank. We spoke to the people. We purchased the ship. I was on the Exodus before it was the Exodus. The ship was formerly a packet steamer, Warfield, and it went up and down the Chesapeake. But during World War II, it served the Royal Navy and the United States, and it was attacked by a German submarine, and it also served at Omaha Beach. And then it was torpedoed and put into dry dock, and that's when we found it in Baltimore. It was named the Exodus after the biblical Jewish exodus from Egypt to Canaan. And following World War II, all the Holocaust survivors were unable to return to their native countries, as we spoke before. So the Exodus left Baltimore. I was on it on February 25th, 1947, headed for the Mediterranean port of Sète, France, spelled S-E-T-E. I didn't go across the ocean, but we were let off after the refit north of Baltimore and then the ship. And during this time, we knew that the Arabs, if they knew where the ship was, would try to sink it. So we needed Navy protection. And my father and my Uncle Bill and myself drove up to Princeton, New Jersey to speak with Albert Einstein, because he was working on the atomic bomb with President Truman. And he called President Truman. This was all prearranged. FBI men were all around in suits and ties in the ivory-covered walls of the building. And he, President Truman, assured us that the U.S. Navy would be nearby in case we were intercepted by any forces of the Arab countries. The funny thing about Mr. Einstein, and it's in my website, is that he had four desks in the middle of the room all put together, and there were huge blackboards surrounding the entire room. And he would sit down and talk to you, and all of a sudden he would say, oh, just a second. He would get up and run over to the blackboard and erase a formula and write something else in his place. And he did that three times while we were waiting for the White House to call us, because you could tell this man with an IQ of 250 had so many things in his mind. We later found out that the equations on the walls were the formulas for the hydrogen bomb. So I've never forgotten that trip. But
wow.
The British were on the outlook for this large ship, which really could only hold 500 people during its heyday. We retrofitted it so it could hold 4,500 people, even just sitting on the deck and so forth, for the trip to Israel. Every 3 days, we had to move the ship to another location. And finally, when the United Nations was going to be in the area, because the Tour de France was there also, and we could bring attention to this nationwide, we loaded everybody on the ship and we sailed to Haifa. And we were intercepted 3 miles from shore, but not by the Arabs, but by the British. And they told us to hold up and so forth, but we did not. And the British rammed us with the battleship, the Ajax. Now, I don't know if you remember the Ajax, but it earned fame in World War II. It sank the German battleship, the Graf Spee. And now she was following an unarmed, aging, derelict ship of the Chesapeake Bay, and the high command's orders to the British battle fleet was stop the Jews. And the Navy rammed the ship in the dead of night a few miles from shore in international waters, and people died, and the ship was towed to Haifa, and they disembarked all the immigrants. And I was there on the shore with my dad, and you could see the muddle of bedding, the plumbing, broken pipes, overflowing toilets, half-naked men, women looking for children. Cabins were bashed in, railings were ripped off, life-saving rafts were dangling, and the 4,500 refugees were unloaded. And 3 days later, put on three prison ships to be taken back to France. France would not allow the prisoners, and the prisoners would not, I mean, the prisoners, the people on the prison ships, all of the people would not disembark. So the British took us out of the Mediterranean through Gibraltar, Straits of Gibraltar, back to Hamburg, Germany, and unloaded everybody and put them back into the same concentration camps where they escaped with German guards over them again. I mean, how emotional is that? And the world's press was on top of this. Well, we were able to get all those people out of there and back to Israel by the end of that year. And the bravery of the Exodus passengers and crew may well have hastened the end of the British rule there. And as a result, the Exodus 1947 acted as the catalyst in the forming of a new nation. And the secret American involvement focused on clandestine and illegal American Jewish efforts, which was led by my father, Harry Silk, to finance and crew the most infamous of the 10 American ships that brought Jewish refugees to Palestine. Events that shaped world history, even to this day. Between 47 and 1948, volunteers acquired, equipped, and manned the other ships, which carried over 40,000 refugees through the British blockade. It's just something that...
Wow.
Every time I think of it,
wow,
I choke up, you know. The Exodus itself, abandoned and battered, sank in Haifa Harbor in 1952. And after the history-making voyage, the ship was tied up and forgotten. You know, there are a lot of other things going on in Israel at that time. And 700,000 Jewish people arrived that year in the new state. And there was little time and money to focus on the meaning of the Exodus. And the mayor of Haifa proposed that the ship that launched the nation should be restored and converted into a floating museum.
We're going to leave robertsilk.com, folks. Please go to the website, robertsilk.com. Click on family history, and you can learn more about this story. And Robert and I are going to be planning to record a presentation of this very soon that we'll have for you on our website.